my spirit was at war because God gave me this some time ago, and I've just been avoiding it. That read, I've just been pushing it to the side. And he said, I didn't tell you to do that. He said, well, you scared? I said, no, God, I ain't scared. Because I know you're with me. And so we're just going to get right into it. I believe that someone said that the word would either draw you or drive you. Bishop Daddy, who was that? Who said that? Sister Brown. Sister Brown. The word would draw you or it even drive you. And I hope and pray as we visit this particular book today that you will see me somewhat like Samuel. Because Samuel, he was given a word of warning. This might not be the shout and the glad type of message. It might be the fight mad type of message. But I'm not in the pulpit because I consulted my admin team. I'm so glad I can say that. It's been a while. And they said, yeah, this might be a little borderline. So it's curving some things you take to the pulpit. If you're not careful, you're being yourself. And I want you to know I'm not in myself.
All right.
But we do have to give you a word of caution.
Oh, yes, sir. Go ahead.
1 Samuel chapter 8. I would ask that you will stand. However, this is a long text. And I know some of us didn't stretch this morning. Some of us didn't get our Wheaties this morning, our Cheerios. So you can remain seated and follow along with me. 1 Samuel chapter 8. When you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, just say, just hold up. Wait a minute. Almost there. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Did y'all enjoy that Stay Woke segment? Deacon Shorter. As he said, it's not to persuade anyone to vote or go a certain way. It's just simply let you know what's going on in the world. Because there are a lot of injustices. And I always say, if you want to know how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how he voted, it's in the Word. He said, when I was hungry, you what?
Amen.
When I was thirsty, you what? You gave me a drink. He said, when I was in prison, you what? And the way the world is going right now, It's bad. I have some more to say about that, but that's another day. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Everybody ready? If you don't have it, let me see. Everybody got it? And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. It says he what? He made. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after Lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old. My son is telling me that a lot lately. I keep trying to test my sister Kevin. I keep showing her. That's something called old man strength. So he said, Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel to Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Verse 5. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken, listen, unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Verse 9. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and to some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties. Well. And will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards, and give to his officers and to his servants.
And he will take
your men servants and your maid servants and your godliest young men and your asses and put them to his work.
Well.
And
he will take
the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king which ye shall have chosen. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, Nay, but he will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken, listen unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go ye every man unto his city.
Amen. Amen.
The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our God shall what? Shall stand forever. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen.
And for the fools that say that there is no God, all that to say is that the word of God is for everybody that will hearken, that will listen. Our subject this morning, we will not bow down. There is only one king.
Amen.
Tell somebody next to you, I will not bow down.
There is only one king.
One king.
One king.
Amen.
Now tell them, we will not bow down. There is only one king.
One king.
Amen.
Do anybody see?
Come on.
Do anybody see? You read it, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Every word.
Anybody see any comparisons?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody say dead on?
Dead on.
Spot on?
Spot on. Yes, it is.
As we approach the month of March, we are dealing with, again, for this year, the seasons of transition. To our visitors, we're so glad to see you here. We're so glad to see you. And for this year, we're dealing with seasons of transitions. Coming from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Every first Saturday of the month, March coming up, we skip what? April. We're back when?
May
and June. We skip what?
July.
Then we're back what?
August
and September. Every first Saturday, we're here at 10 o'clock. Because we are in the season of transition.
Amen.
In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2, we dealt with the time to be born and the time to die, the first Saturday of this month. March, we're going into a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which has been planted.
All right. Amen. Amen.
One of the most challenging things in our lives is determining what we must pluck up from our lives. What we must get rid of.
Come on, man.
Some of us, when we go to the refrigerator, it's hard for us to throw out something that... It's hard. You look at it like, has it been 7 days?
What is it like?
You go to the freezer. I had to look this up because I just can't believe you can keep a turkey in your freezer for a year if it's at the right temperature. Since I saw that look. I'm kind of like that. I just that's kind of long. I've experienced that before. Anybody experienced some food that's freezer burnt?
Yes.
And then when you went into it, it's like, I should have thrown this away.
Mm-hmm.
Some things we don't get rid of that milk when it's always spoiled. Tell the kids, go in there and smell it. Taste a little bit.
Hey, Mike,
daddy, I can't taste it. Let me see. Then you get ready to throw it away. Mama come behind you. No, I can use that to garnish my cornbread. Like, what? That turned into some buttermilk. That's palm milk. But hey, it haven't killed us.
Right?
It haven't killed us at all. But some things we have a hard time getting rid of. And what things are not pure and holy, we must cut loose.
Amen.
The same thing in our lives. Sometimes we have to, you know, we have spring cleaning. I think we've created fall cleaning. I think we've also created summer cleaning. But every once in a while, we got to go through some things and get rid of some old stuff.
Amen.
I got to go through my phone. I got contacts in my phone I haven't heard from in 15, 20 plus years.
Deceased
as well. But we have to what? Get rid of a lot of junk, a lot of mess. And often the very things we cling to are habits. Habits. I attended a class called the 21 Day Program Challenge, and I found out that they say it takes 21 days to break a habit. It takes 21 days to break a habit. So if some of us want to stop smoking, you can do it. But they say it takes 21 days to break a habit. When God get a hold of you,
come on now. It's a right now thing.
It's a right now thing. Mm-hmm. It don't take no 21 days. But some of us have developed some habits that have turned into years. Have you ever came across somebody and say you can't teach a
old dog?
I thought y'all knew. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. And sometimes some people use that as an excuse not to grow.
Right.
Because they don't want to change. And change is not always a
good thing
because change deals with the unfamiliar. If we drive the same route every day, we're comfortable. But don't let that way that we go all the time, don't let it
be blocked off.
Have a detour. Man. And you have to go a certain way. My wife and I, we went with Deacon Shorter and Sister Shorter a couple of times, and they drove us around. That was just part of our date. They just drove us around. All around Dallas. Before Lady P had to speak last week, they drove us around celebrating my birthday, and she had all the time said, "Babe, I got to get back to the house. I got to get back on it." But they drove us around.
Okay.
And I'm like, man, we're talking about traveling in all these places. We don't even know Dallas.
Exactly.
Born here, raised here.
Yeah.
Went through East Dallas, West Dallas. Went around over here around the church some more.
That's right.
Man, that's there. That's there. Man, the fruit market. Man, I remember going to the fruit market when I was little
right.
In downtown.
Downtown.
And it don't look the same, but it's still there.
It's still there.
I'll take our kids to the fruit market downstairs. But all that to say, when it's familiar, we're comfortable. But when you go into unfamiliar territory, you got your peacemaker? We know God is able.
All right.
He said, but there come a time, Peter, where you need to swerve, but you don't need it right now. When that day and age, some people don't want to hear that. Some people don't. Hey, we some of us don't want to hear this, sisters, but it's our job to protect.
Oh, yes.
It is.
Yes, it is.
We know God, he's able, but we ain't no fool either.
Correct.
A burglar don't make the announcement that they're coming to you this Thursday at 2 o'clock in the morning. If they did, you'll be what?
Ready.
How you going to get ready? How you going to be ready? You call the police before they even show up. Would you call the police before they show up? If you knew they were coming at 2 o'clock, if you knew they were coming, you'll call the police. And then you're going to have to, when you call the police, you know what you're going to have to tell them? They trying to kill me. Because if you tell them somebody coming to try to break in, they ain't coming.
Right.
All that to say, the familiar and unfamiliar. Oftentimes, the very things we cling to, relationships. Some of us are clinging to relationships that we shouldn't even associate ourselves with.
Say that.
But it's familiar. Even the same toxic mess, the same toxic conversation. Some of us survive and thrive off of drama.
Well.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Some of us, we can't watch a good show if we don't got no drama in it. We got to watch some paternity court. And that ain't the daddy. Look at his nose. Look at that. That color don't look right. I'm black. That's a white baby. We all white babies when we come out. At least that's what I find out about my kids.
Yeah.
Later, and I asked my wife, "You sure?" She said, "You sure?" I didn't find out that question until later on. Then I had to ask, I said, "Are you sure?" No, I know my kids, man. Amen. But some of us, our mindsets can slowly erode our well-being, even when they once nurtured us. Sometimes the things that have once nurtured us and groomed us, whether it's relationships, people, the mindset, those things that have made us to sometimes who we are have also made us what? Fall by the wayside. Because somewhere along the line, somebody should grow up. And a lot of people are just not, they're not growing up. They're still playing tricks. I keep saying the commercial, silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids. But that's where some of us are. Whatever things are not conducive to our spirit, meaning whatever things are not beneficial, it has become a thorn in our flesh because now we're at a crossroad. We want something better, but we cannot let go of what's killing us softly. Some of us are trying to keep up with the world, the world's ways, the world's system. And we forget it's not that they're not like us, it's that we're not like them. I know y'all heard it. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, somebody should have got up on that one. It's not that they not like us, but we're not like them. Tell someone, you are the ecclesia. Meaning we are the called out ones. Or the assembly of the church. The Bible says in Hebrews, don't forsaken yourself to an assembly together. We are the ecclesia, the part of Ecclesiastes of the book, the ecclesia. We are what called out as the what? Bride of Christ. Everybody's stuck on religion and different. We're the church of God in Christ. We're the church of God in Christ. We are of the assembly. We are of the assembly. We're Baptists. You've been baptized. Jesus was baptized. We're baptized. Everybody's so stuck on the little minor stuff of the denominations. But the question is, do you believe in God? Do you believe that he sent what? His son, his only begotten son, to give us the greatest benefit package in the world.
Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you.
Sister Shorty, I said it might happen. I'm trying to get through this introduction, but
go right
ain't. Yep, Lord. Thank you, Sister Kirby. Thank you. So, the ecclesia. Again, I'm reminded of a song that I heard when I was younger. I used to go with my sister. She had a roommate. And y'all remember there was a show that used to come on TV if y'all were night owls on Saturdays. I think it was called Flavor TV. Anybody remember that?
Flavor Play.
On Saturdays. You just come on back in the day. Okay, I'm the only one that watched Flavor. Am I telling my age? Oh, Flavor. Flavor TV. Y'all know I just turned 40, so y'all. But there was a part of this song that I heard. I couldn't understand what the rapper was saying. But the only thing I kept hearing in the song, it says, "See you at the crossroads. So you won't be lonely." How it go, brother? Yep, that was who? From who? Bone. We ain't been saved all our life. And some people make you think that it's a sin that you listen to. It's not. It's not. As long as you know what to filter out through the Holy Spirit. So y'all stop the foolishness. Stop the madness. I can't listen to this song and that song. And as a minister in Christ, I got to listen to it all. So I know what is going on. So I can inform you the correct way through the Holy Spirit.
So you hear it or not.
That's it. So y'all stop. So just in case I bump 50 Cent every blue moon. All right. So the next part of this, and the reason why I said I was stuck between the preaching and teaching, because I'm so thankful that we have a church family that wants to learn.
Oh, yes, sir.
And some people are taking notes. Some people are taking pictures. We'll put this information on the band out. But I want y'all to really soak and digest what's going on in the text. Next slide, please. This next part that I want to do is called the Battle of Allegiance. Ask somebody, who will you serve?
Who will you serve?
The Battle of Allegiance. Who are you loyal to?
Where?
Somebody said these. No, I can't say that one. No, that's too far, Dane. Some people ain't loyal. That's all I'm gonna say. did I do good? She said safe. She said safe. But now here we are. One thing to note, in every generation that they faced or that we will face, the question is, who will we serve? If it wasn't the pharaohs of the Bible, because we always associate one particular pharaoh in the Bible, but there were many pharaohs in the Bible. There was the pharaoh who took Sarah to his household. There was a pharaoh who interpreted Joseph's dreams. There was a pharaoh who resisted letting the Israelites go. And so God sent who? Moses to tell Pharaoh to what? Let my people go. There was a pharaoh who wounded King Josiah in the military battle. And later, we see different kings such as King Nebuchadnezzar and King Solomon and King Hezekiah, King David. Then we see Queen Jezebel, who was promoting her worship of Baal during King Ahab's reign. Fast forward a little bit, we saw King Hitler. Fast forward, we Kim Song and his son, Kim Jong-un, and we see all of these dictators and everybody that want to be a what?
King.
Now fast forward, we have someone right now that's telling you and me that he is
king.
That's why I'm not in the pulpit. Because some people will get offended. And my job is to teach you what thus said the word of God, because we ain't got time.
All right.
Amen. Tell somebody, we ain't got time.
We ain't got time.
Tell somebody, I don't got time to play no game.
I ain't got time to play no game.
My soul is important. Tell somebody, my soul is precious to me. Because it's precious to God. Tell somebody. My spirit
needs to be connected
to the right spirit.
To the right spirit.
So my soul,
so my soul
can go to heaven.
Can go to heaven.
So close.
And see our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you're offended by this message, I don't give you a disclaimer.
Yeah. It's okay.
I'm just I'm just in the book. Each generation, there is one who rises up to take possession. Say, take possession of something that doesn't belong to him.
All right.
Say, take claim.
Take claim.
Take possession.
Take possession.
What are we taking claim of?
Well,
that seemed to be the ongoing thing. We keep trying to get what somebody else got, and we want what somebody else. Don't know what it took for somebody else to get what they got. Don't know this. Somebody probably stole what they got.
Illegal.
And we're going to follow suit and go to jail right behind. We just don't know. Now, let's get to the text. As we look at the text today, we see a great man of faith. What's his name?
Samuel.
I'm glad we got some great men of faith in here. How many great men of faith we have?
All right. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to ask this question again. How many men, and I'm talking about mankind, how many of us are a great man of faith? That's everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you have faith in?
Jesus Christ.
The Word. Because you say you have faith.
Yes, sir.
And our faith is being tested.
Yes, it is.
Every day.
Every day.
While you sleep,
every day.
Your faith is being tested. You can't get a good night's sleep.
Right.
You're tossing and turning.
Yes. Yes.
You're talking to yourself.
Uh-huh.
You're throwing fits.
Yeah.
You're fighting demons.
Whipping somebody.
You're whipping your own self.
Yeah.
You're not at peace.
Right.
Because your faith is being tested.
Yeah.
Your faith is being shaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your faith is being disturbed.
Yeah.
So when we ask the question, what do you have faith in? The Bible says we have the faith the size of a
mustard seed.
We can speak to the mountain and say, be what?
Move
from hence to yonder. I didn't know what that meant. I used to hear this as Lopez. The season says, give me that there over yonder. I'm like, what? Over yonder? Why just say there? Just say there. But this great man of faith, he functioned as a priest. He was also Israel's last judge and first prophet, according to Acts chapter 3, verse 24. And the Bible says in chapter 7 of 1 Samuel that he returned to Ramah, for there was his house, and he judged Israel. That's also where Samuel built an altar. The Bible says that he judged Israel all the days of his life. But here in chapter 8, the Bible says that Samuel was old and he suffered from the same weakness that some of us have today. He suffered from the same weakness. Anybody guess what it is? Let's take a guess.
Faith.
Flesh.
Lust.
Temptation. You got your Bibles open?
All right.
You got your Bibles open?
Yes.
Read it. Go back to verse 1.
Oh, yes.
What did it say?
Oh,
we stick with the Bible. Just right there.
Samuel was old.
Uh-huh.
He made his son open
the
name of his firstborn.
Thank you. That's it right there.
Right there?
That's it right there. That weakness that he has, what some of us have today. He appointed his two sons to be judges at where?
Beersheba.
It's right there in the text.
Beersheba.
You see it?
Yes.
Ask somebody what that is. Just ask them what that is.
What that is.
Tell them, I don't know.
I don't know.
Ask them who that?
Who that?
Who that? His problem was he appointed his children to be in a position that they didn't have no business being in.
All right.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
He appointed his hard-headed, his stiff-necked, spoiled children who didn't listen to wisdom, who thought they know everything, but only to realize, as Lady P said last Sunday, they don't know nothing. Ain't that what she said last week? In her example, she said, I thought I knew it. Thought I knew everything. Only to find out, don't even know nothing. So here, with them not knowing nothing, the Bible says that they didn't walk in their father's ways, for they love what? What did they love?
Money.
Pastors are warned in the qualifications of a pastor not to what? Love money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It didn't say money is. It didn't say money is the root. It says the love of money is the root of what?
All
evil. So his sons, they were known for taking bribes, ripping people off. Anybody been ripped off before? Anybody been ripped off more than one time? By the same joker? It was by the same joker? Fool me once? Shame on who?
Me.
One of our presidents didn't get that line right. But they started out stealing from people whom they were supposed to serve. Whenever you start to go in that direction, you have a problem. When you have to start stealing and lying, you got a problem. Because even the Word of God says a liar will not
enter in.
Thanks, Sister Connie. A liar will not enter in. Some of us got some work to do, right? Through the Holy Spirit. That's a petition, somebody. Some of us are just like Samuel. No matter how much wrong our children have done or does, thank you, we say it's okay. Have you ever seen a parent that's like that? Hello?
Yes.
Have you ever seen a parent that's like that? No matter what their children did, It's okay. I got you. Let me put a Band-Aid on it. Let me lick your wounds for you. Is there anybody? Don't raise your hand. Some of us are still licking our children, our grown children's wounds. I'll take the blow. I'll take the hit. Give me the drugs. I got it. I'll do the time. I'll do the time. We say, I love you that much. I'll do the time. We try our best to get in front of God, even when God is chastising our children, as if we're telling God, hold up. Not my baby. God is trying to do something, but your silly self is in the way. I said it.
All right.
Because when you try to play God, you are silly.
Well,
you're a fool.
Yeah.
Wow. When you're trying to get in the way, and God is saying, I got this.
Okay.
That's your baby. Your baby belonged to me first.
Yeah.
Let me handle this.
Right.
God said, behold, all souls
are mine.
Uh-huh. The soul of the what?
Father.
The soul of the
Son.
And the soul that sinned it, it shall die.
Amen.
Daddies, we're close to our baby girls. Your baby girl belong to God. Mamas, your boy, your grown man belong to God.
Amen.
Tell somebody,
you
belong
to God.
Amen. Amen.
Tell somebody, get back.
Amen.
Tell somebody, get back.
Amen.
And let God do his job.
Let God
before you get in trouble. Some of us are trying to save our children. We forget in this spirit world, can't nobody do it like Jesus. Some of us can be aiding and assisting our loved ones to hell. I said it. That's what God gave me.
All right. All right. Teach.
1:31 in the morning. That's what I have on there. So 1:31, God dropped it in my spirit. Some of us, yeah, pastor be up. I'm a working pastor, so I got to get it in when it's quiet. Some of us can be aiding and assisting our loved ones to hell. Eternal damnation, because we won't get out of the way.
Amen.
It's true that some of us, because we want to be little kings or little gods, are keeping someone from seeing Jesus. Last I checked, his name Jesus. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Meant saved.
Save.
Jesus saves. Ooh. Not you. Yeah. Point to yourself. Tell yourself, self.
Self.
I can't
save.
Nobody.
Nobody.
I can't even save.
I can't save.
Myself.
Myself. Hallelujah.
Woo. When people realize that. People, I don't want to come to church because I still got to do this and I got to get myself right and presentable, and God is working on me and he knows my thoughts, he knows my needs, he knows what I'm going through. I'm not ready yet because I'm still out there trying to smoke and drink. I'm still out there trying to go to the nightclubs and do all this. I'm still trying to go in the back seats at the Red Roof Inns and that end and that end and over there and over yonder with Tom and Harry.
Come on.
Susie Sue, Susie B.
All right.
Betty B. Betty Boo. Because we're still trying to do this thing. We say, no, I can't come. I can't come like this because he's not ready for me. And we're stuck on the scripture. The Bible says, come as you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's not talking about what you got on.
Right.
Yeah. That's what people say. I got to get together first. Because the Bible told me I can come in as I am. I can come in with my Daisy Dukes and my short skirt. And the devil is a lie. For somebody that's unchurched, that's not a part of the bride of Christ, that don't know no better, I can see that.
Right.
Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come in off the streets just the way they are.
Correct.
Take your mouth off of them. Let them come through the door. And let them keep coming. As they keep coming, let the Holy Spirit convict and convert. Again, you can't say...
Right.
Women, You waiting on that knucklehead?
Well, Lord.
You've been with him for 8 years?
20.
And you talking about when you going to marry me? He ain't. Because you done already.
Come on now.
Gave him the whole cow.
See? The whole.
You ain't demanding nothing.
All right.
You ain't even loving yourself. Sister Shawty, that's what I'm talking about. They ain't nowhere in the notes. But that's how God works.
That's all right.
Excuse me.
That's all right.
I was trying something new. It ain't quite working. But this is all God.
That's all right.
It ain't in there, but it's there.
That's all right.
Some of us are just playing the role of a fool.
All right. Has done it.
Mm.
Not the most.
So, the leaders went to Samuel. They said, Samuel, we got a problem. First of all, you old. Have anybody heard this before? If some of us, I'm 40. I'm 40. I'm almost.
Come on, Pastor.
Dad, I'm almost.
Not there yet.
Because, believe it or not, if some of us apply for a job, we might not get it just because of our
age.
Right.
And it's called age
discrimination,
but guess what?
No.
Say it again. It's gone. It's gone. Anything dealing with discrimination is what?
Gone.
When Deacon Shaw is talking about DEI, do you know what that basically means? Do you know what that basically means? That's talking about black folks, Hispanics, Asians, anybody that's not of their kind. Say it again, Sister Grove. And women. That's who they're talking about. There's some people, y'all, I'm saying this with love. There's some people that just
can't get it.
I'm going to use that, Sister Kirby. That's the best way to say it. Some people are just not getting it. And the thing is, if you're not understanding it from there,
all right. Teach, Pastor.
Let's keep going.
Oh, yes, Lord.
They said, you're old, you're setting a good example for your sons, but they haven't followed in your footsteps. They said, we want a king. Tell somebody, I want the true king.
The true king.
We want a king. They went back to Ramah, which is not only considered Samuel's home, which is a land that was allocated to the tribe of Benjamin. We're going to do a deep study on the 12 tribes. But this was also a word that meant height. It also meant high place or exalted. It's still for height, high place, are exalted. The pressure to conform. 1 Samuel chapter 8 verses 1 through 5. You see it in the text. Samuel is faced with the pressure to conform, as some of us are faced with here now. Some of us, we said we try not to, but some of us are doing too much when we're trying to fit in, mm-hmm. because they're not like us, so we're trying to become like them. When you start to do that, that's a problem. Because then you start to have an identity crisis. You don't know if you are ain't today or if you're a saint tomorrow. You start to look at yourself different. Anybody get up one morning and you looked in the mirror and like, look kind of off today. But some of us, we're looking in the mirror and we're getting that looking kind of off a little bit too regularly. Because we're trying to fit into this world system. And it's not meant for us to do that. It's not meant for us to do that. So Israel's fear was Samuel was aging, the sons were corrupt. What did they demand? They wanted a leader. They said, choose one for us, Samuel. And what was Samuel's action? Sister Kirby, you still got the Bible open? Thank you. What was Samuel's action? What was his action? After they gave these demands from him, the Bible says that Samuel went and prayed. When we have all these demands on our life and stresses on our life, what do we do?
Pray.
No.
Oh, what do we do? What do we actually do?
No. Y'all make me spend two. All right, we're going to be here. We're going to be here. Because the first thing you got to do is admit you got a problem. We're going to be here. That's not the first thing we do.
Worry,
what?
Worry.
To be worrying.
Smoke.
Smoke what? What you smoke? Whatever's about. Somebody said, as soon as they pass that law in Texas, I'm going to be the first one in line. What else we do?
Drink.
Overeat.
Mm-hmm.
Complain. Overthink.
Mm-hmm.
Curse. Complain. Blame somebody else for some of our mistakes or lack thereof. Mm-hmm. What else are we doing?
We do anything that pleases the flesh so we don't feel pain.
Mm-hmm.
Do anything. Wow. Anything that pleases the flesh. So we try to become spiritually numb.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're doing all of this stuff, as some of us know, because we ain't always been saved, we're trying to do what? Mask the pain. Mask the hurt. But only to find out as soon as we finish doing what we're doing,
it's still hurt.
It's still hurt. Then we go off into the tantrum, I just want to kill my... Tell somebody don't do it.
Don't do it.
Tell somebody don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't think about suicide. Don't commit it. Because that's not, thank you, babe. It's not the end. Because you commit suicide. Do you know where you're going? Sister Charlotte, I'm trying to get going. Just bear with me. So the root issue is that even though he prayed, these people, you know when you hear somebody say these people? Watch out. Who you talking about? But these people, they were so upset that they wanted a king because they wanted to conform rather than trust God. Was it? Was it? You said, thank you. See, this word, you can get this at NKFC. You said it looked like a quick fix. That's what the devil wants you to believe. That's what the devil have tricked so many people right now. For people to think that this man loves them and will do anything for you. Huh. And then have the nerve to have a Black History celebration and only have Tiger Woods there. Oh. I'm standing on task. I'm trying to behave. So, Lord help. Conforming. Because we think that it's a quick fix. Last I checked, eggs were still high. Last I checked, gas was still high. Toilet tissue going up.
Bread.
Bacon is going up.
What about that brisket?
My brother, I'm with you. What about my pork chops?
Yeah, exactly.
Man, we didn't take the pork chops out the food. This ain't no game. I told you last night, baby, I'll take the pork chop out the freezer. So when we come in today, so Sean, I'm back here. Let me get back to it. The next thing of the warning of idolatry. God pointed out to Samuel. He said, They're not rejecting you. He said, let me recall to your memory. Do y'all love those moments when God recalled things to our... Because you know how we say, what's the saying? When I look back over my life,
mm-hmm.
and I think things over. But sometimes we forget about those things where God bought us from. But then once we go through a certain situation and it causes us to sit down, it causes us to think, it causes us to reflect, and then we start saying, well, Lord, I remember when. Lord, I recall when you, and you know what? If you did it before, I know you can. Those moments that he had to bring back to our memory. He said, Samuel, let me tell you something. He said it was just about 400 years ago when Moses went to Pharaoh and told him to let my people go.
Yeah.
And Samuel, it wasn't Moses that was supposed to lead my people to the promised land, but it was Joshua. And not only that, but when they got to the promised land, they forgot. And they started doing the same foolishness that they did back then all over again. As if they forgot where I bought them from. I sold them the promised land over the distance. I told Joshua to send some spies. Go camp it out. Go get the layout. Go let us know what's going on. Give me a what? A good report. They came back. The surveyors came back. And they said what? What they say? There's giants. There's giants in the land. They said, we look like what?
Grasshoppers
in their sight. We ain't going. Only thing God wanted them to do was trust him. Don't worry about the giants and over there, because they doing what I got them doing for the benefit of you. But you're looking at the situation. You're looking at the circumstance. So you just want to conform to your old ways of habits. Now, I done killed off some of your generation.
of old, and now you have an opportunity for a new reset.
Come on, Pastor.
To go in and possess, go into the promised land, and you are still playing the role of fool.
Yeah.
He said, Samuel, this is what they're doing again now.
Okay.
They're putting everything else before. Before me.
Yeah. Mm.
He said, I hear you. He said, I know you're praying, but what I want you to do is just do this. I want you to do what they say.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
Come on now.
He said, I want you to do what they're asking.
Mm.
What are they asking for?
A king.
So you know what? Guess what? Give it to them. What did they do back in Exodus? Moses went up. Not on a Tuesday. I don't know what day it was. But he went up to the mount because they said, he went up. Going up on a Tuesday. So he went up. That's all I know. He went up on the mount. And he got the instructions from the Lord. He came down with the tablets. But as he's coming down, he said, Lord,
that's water
going on. Thank God for Sunday school growing up. He said, that's a water. He said, not only that, you want me to go down there and tell these Negroes? And these other heathens, because that was a mix. It wasn't just Negroes, it was a mix of us.
Right.
All mixed races down there. He said, you want me to go down there and tell them, say what again? Your what? And they down here building idol gods, and they said, give me the gold and make us a golden calf, and you want me to go down here with a word? He said, I just need you to do what I'm telling you to do. Tell somebody,
do what God.
Look at him. Tell him,
do what God requires you to do.
Go ahead and write that down. Go ahead. Do what God requires you to do. Y'all right now? All right. Do what God requires you to do. So, Sean, let's try this again. So, Samuel felt some type of way, not just the personal rejection, but I've learned myself to stop taking things personally. Can some of us do that? Some of us not. Some of us might not be there. That's okay. It takes prayer and it takes practice. It's those habits that we gotta learn and break. Because sometimes we want to go off. Sometimes we want to snap. Sometimes we want to bust it. Anyway, but our flesh wants to take over.
Yeah.
Because our flesh don't know any other way, because we're not connected to the right spirit. Because if we're connected to the right spirit, we can practice love. We can practice what else?
Patience.
We can practice
self-control.
We can practice forgiveness. We can practice meekness. We can practice
gentleness.
We can practice kindness. When you're connected to the fruit of the Spirit. But if you're not connected, you don't know no other way.
Amen.
So you just want to just do what you know to do.
Right.
Is the unfiltered, the uncensored, the raw. This is what you're going to get. You're going to get the real what? Me or the real person according to your flesh. because you're not connected to the Spirit. When you can recognize that you have practiced the fruit of the Spirit in your daily walk, in your daily life, that's how you know that God is what? In you. And he's working in you and through you. Because somebody will tell you, you don't look the same. You don't talk the same. You don't walk the same. Your conversation is different. What happened? Who did this to you? How did you become like this? It was just the other day you was cramming blades in your mouth and your gums. Because you wanted to cut somebody up. Now you're carrying the Word of God. You're carrying the Bible.
Amen.
Who did this? You go to church every Sunday. They're still talking about you. But guess what? I'm getting closer and closer to my Jesus. Each and every day.
That's all that matters.
Y'all bear with me. I'm getting somewhere.
It's all right.
In the process of this idolatry, God has warned them that a human king is going to take. A human king is going to do what? It's going to take.
Anything.
Read it. Anything or anyone you put above God, you are a slave to. That has become your master. Anything or anyone, your husband, your wife, your children, your pillow, your bed, your car, phone, YouTube, Twitter, X, whatever it is on your phone you're doing, ecstasy, what other pills you popping. Whatever it is that you have become a slave to only because you put God before it, you done messed up. It's not even for me to put my wife before God. I saw the other day, somebody said, now I know you said you love me, and you said that I mean the world to you, but then in your prayer, you said God was your everything? Then what am I? You said I was your everything. But when you prayed, Brother Mathis, you said, she's your everything. God said, I'm a jealous God. Sister Carolyn, you might have to, you got a shield over there for me?
Oh, I got you covered. Come on. Tell the truth.
Some people in our lives, God have removed because we worship them more than we worship God. I'm glad I have a wife that's understanding. There's some women that call themselves professional scouters to be a pastor's wife. And they have no idea that this woman, not that she let or allowed me, but she's understanding to know.
Amen.
My assignment.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. My assignment, brothers, your assignment, mm-hmm.
This is where people get marriage wrong.
Messed up. Mm-hmm.
Because it says that the wife is the help
meet
to her, to her husband.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Women, that means your obligation is to your husband's
mm-hmm.
assignment.
Okay.
His ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have no other business
mm-hmm.
trying to cover somebody else's because you don't have no idea that this woman was in the bed by herself
what?
From 11:45 to 4:30 this morning.
See? Mm. Sleeping sound.
And guess what, Sister Gross? I was in the house.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What you say?
Yeah.
I was in the house.
Uh-huh.
And guess what? That's somewhat of the norm preparing for this day. Because do you know, sometimes, brother, I almost asked another preacher, another deacon to stand in for me. Because sometimes the devil plays tricks even with us.
Yes.
Because one thing about it, if I'm not right, hello.
Yes.
If I'm not right in here,
come on.
I won't be standing right here.
Amen. Amen. Say that. Say that, Pastor. Say that.
This is where men and ministers, preachers got to realize if you're not right here, if I'm not right on a Sunday to stand right here, the Lord have enabled and equipped. He has provided a ram in the bush.
All right.
And has
Amen.
Provided several.
Amen.
Sometimes, but I can't stand here. Because even in my daily walk, sometimes the devil is trying to throw things in my way to put before God.
Yeah.
Do you hear me? Oh, y'all don't understand. Y'all don't understand how serious this thing is.
Yes, sir.
Next slide, please. Y'all. 1 Samuel 8:8. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. That's God telling Samuel again. Next slide, please. God is warning us. A human king is going to do what?
Amen.
Next slide, please.
In the word. Teach, Pastor, teach.
A human king is going to take. Do it again. It says, what verse are we at?
8.
Remember, we are following the word of God. He says he's going to take your sons. He's going to take who?
Your sons.
Verse 11. God dropped this in my spirit this morning. The military draft is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us think we're safe because we're the only son and all this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us think because our foot is a certain way, they're not going to take us. But when you know that Russia and China have already combined to have the world's largest foot armor according to scripture, prophecy, the king is going to take your sons.
Mm-hmm.
It says, for his chariots and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. Some people are going to be slaves and plow the fields like the horses. I'm talking about people.
Mm-hmm.
Not the horses. I'm talking about the people. Do y'all see it?
Next, please. It says, he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to earn his ground and to reap his harvest. Somebody say Project 2025.
Project 2025.
Lord Jesus. That's why I'm not up here. Because some people can't handle the truth. From the word of God.
Yeah. Right here.
He's going to appoint. Everybody's being fired. Watch this. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of thousands of people.
Yes.
If you didn't know. Lord help.
Yes.
Woo.
Yes, sir.
Restrain me.
Teach, Pastor. Teach.
My flesh want to go off. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay right here in the spirit.
Teach.
Hundreds of thousands of people are being fired. And we told y'all last year, when we did the presentation, what was going to happen dealing with Project 2025, and some people said, no, that ain't going to happen.
See?
Well, guess what? We are here.
Say that.
And you think because somebody had their name on a check, you think the check came from him? No, it did not come from him. Dick Shaw already told the money was already allocated. He just put his name on it. But now he got his people in here that's appointed. And he's giving them captains over thousands and captains over fifties. That's going to drill down to the local level.
See? That's what we just heard this moment.
He said, I'm going to put my people in place. All of these savings, everybody's getting fired. I'm gonna give them a little something to still do my bidding, to still keep us under check, to keep the world system under check. Sister Kirby, see why? I can't get up there for this. Somebody want to call the Pope on me right now? Because the day is going to come. Separation of church and state will be no longer.
Okay.
I will be walked out of here just like this. Because they are picking up through the speakers what's being said. No. I'm looking for a particular watch. Yeah, let me see your watch.
Smartphone.
Dick Gross. Let me see that watch. Just hold it up. Is that a smartphone? Yeah. Next, Sean. And take his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots.
Must.
Brother just told y'all something. I don't even think y'all heard it, but it's right here in the text. Mm-hmm. And make his instruments robots, AI,
chips.
Anybody seen the movie iRobot with Will Smith? Well, he's already doing that. They're already impregnating machines to carry babies. So, if you're trying to take the place of God, Musk, well, this is what the people voted for. This is what they voted for. But there was some computer hacking too. That's a whole other story. Got evidence on that. Y'all, you can't get mad at the messenger. Mm-hmm. You get mad at me all you want. But guess what? I'm safe. I'm safe. God gave this to me. And if you don't want to listen, so you can be aware and be vigilant, guess what? You might be like these people in the text. You pretty much saying, give us a king. Next. Y'all hold on to your seat. Everybody hold on to your seat. Hold on to your seat. Please hold on to your seat. Just hold on.
Lord Jesus.
He will take your daughters to be confectionaries. When you look this up, it says sweet treats such as candies, pastries, and chocolates. Even, they say, make perfumes in them. Okay, let me paint a better picture. So y'all know how some movies we watch, there's a drug kingpin, and he has a location. There's a location. Some of y'all going back to y'all days, y'all. He has a location. And that location, he might have some women. That's bare. Mm-hmm. What was that? That was a scale. It was a scale. Chop it up. Mm-hmm. He will take your daughters. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. To be. Did y'all see that in the text?
Lord Jesus.
This is what a human king. Next, please. A king will take your best fields, vineyards, olive groves. He will take them from you and give them to his officers. Project 2025. He will take one tenth of your grain and grapes. What's one tenth of nothing? So if you don't have nothing, and he still take what you don't have, that means, as I told Diggin the other day, y'all think just because we in our individual homes that we all right? Yeah, I said hold on. I said, hold on to your seat.
Yes, sir.
Because the way this thing is going to go, if they don't come for the church building, we're going to be huddled up. Oh. Somebody said, oh. Oh, no. I hear some of y'all actually said the other word. Some of y'all said, hell no. I heard you. The spirit. I don't know. Now I can't stay with my in-laws and outlaws and them laws and tiles are going to get so bad that somebody pride is going to have to come on down. So we could be in the nicest home all we want and still. Let something happen to your job. Last I checked, that read, I'm a millionaire in spirit.
All right. Amen. Come on now.
Last I checked, we just a couple of paychecks away. In my spirit, I'm bowling.
Wow.
In my spirit, you can't tell me. Through the grace of God, can't touch this. That's how all of us should be.
Thank you, God.
But I'm talking about it's going to get so bad. The intimate domain is the power of the government to take private property for public use with just compensation to the owner. Well, who's the compensation? Who's the owner? He's already telling you, if y'all didn't hear him say this week, I am the government. The one that starts with a T.
Actually allows
that. Say it again.
I said there's actually, the Third Amendment actually allows for, in times of war, the Congress can pass a law to allow soldiers to come in your house.
Yeah.
And live in your house.
Say it again, sir, back here.
I just said the Third Amendment of the Constitution that actually allows for, in times of turmoil, that it gives Congress the allowance to pass a law saying soldiers can live in your house, take over your house, use your house's quarters for them, whatever they want to do with it.
Another instruction.
Break it down, Pastor. Lord, I love this church. Yes.
Thank you, sister. I love you. I love you. I love you. A king will take your man and women's servants. He will take your best cattle and your donkeys. He will use them for all for his own work. Mm-hmm. He will take 1/10 of your flocks, and yourselves will become slaves of this king. When that time comes, you will cry because of the king you chose. But the Lord won't answer you at that time. And this is supposed to be a highlight, but impose what?
Taxation.
So who the king that chose?
Did y'all see this in the text? When we open, did y'all see all of this? Sorry, I'm gonna try to rush on because I don't want to lose nobody.
That's okay. Take your time.
They said that after the first 15 minutes, don't nobody remember what you're saying. That way.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. If y'all gotta stand up, go on stand up. Let me go on. A people who refuse to bow. Sometimes God allows us to have what we demand, not as a blessing,
but as a lesson. You better yemen.
God loves you so much that he will not force you to do anything that you don't want to do.
Very well said, Pastor.
He will allow you whatever it is that you are demanding from him because you don't want to follow his commands because you're demanding like you the it. So you know what? I'll show you better than I can tell you. You want to cry out for the knucklehead?
Huh? I'll let you have it.
You want that so-called sister that you think got your back and think is going to be your help me? All of them find out, she probably can't cook.
Probably won't cook.
Probably don't plan to cook.
You better get it yourself.
Because it's not that she probably can't cook, but her attitude.
Come on now.
Because it's about her. Because she can't make the sacrifice.
Get up.
Ain't nobody
there. Get out the bed.
Because somebody want to hold on to the bed. Because somebody not thankful that their eyes are open and that they're alert. They just want to stay in the bed all day and let the day pass. And then before you know it, it's Monday again. It's time to go back to work. And then when we get off work, you're looking at each other like you're hungry. And then you're looking at each other like, so what we going to do? Are you going to do something? Are you going to get something? And turn into these arguments and then for tip for tat? So short. I don't think there's no way. But I'm so glad that my parents raised me that I could cook in the microwave some bacon and some eggs. If I can't do nothing else, I can cook some bacon and eggs in the microwave.
Air fry.
What part? The eggs? Oh, the bacon? Oh, you put about 5 strips of bacon in the microwave on a plate, on the apple, put it in there for about 7 minutes, maybe 2 minutes more.
Yeah.
Special turkey bacon.
Want some eggs in the microwave? Crack them in the bowl, stir them up, put your little black pepper in there. You put two eggs in, put it on there for about 2 minutes. Watch it swell up. As soon as it come down, when it stops, you better get your fart. Go around that bowl. Let me get going. Jesus is
the only king.
The only king worthy of worship. St. Luke chapter 1, in closing, verse 32 and 33. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be what?
No end.
Jesus is not like human kings. The Bible says he came to serve.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus does not take. He what?
Gives.
Thank you.
He does not oppress. He does what?
Set free.
He does not enslave. He what?
Rescues.
Thank you, Lord. Don't got it with you. Don't got it with
you. I believe somebody can say,
yes, Lord.
He did give to me.
Oh, yes.
He gave me more than a second chance.
Amen.
I believe somebody can say that He have set me free. Because I'm not doing the same foolishness I used to do. I'm not chasing who I used to chase. My flesh have died to him daily. Because this takes what? Work. It takes effort. But I can't do it by myself. Because I need him to come and what?
Rescue me
from myself.
All the time.
That's
all right.
Thank that's you, that's where the preaching coming in right
now. Thank you, Pastor.
Good word, good word. Thank you.
Will you bow? Or will you stand?
I stand.
Will you bow?
I stand.
Or will you stand?